Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, he's coming. Amen. You know, our banner, on one hand, you could say it's a title. The Lord's coming. Amen. All right? You could also say, the Lord is coming.
Amen.
And I enjoy what Benjamin shared last night. This is a fact.
Right.
Right? This is a fact in the Word, and we should take heed to this Word. The Lord is coming.
Amen.
So in this few evenings, we want to fellowship and see something more regarding the Lord's coming. And this is very precious to us. And like this hymn we just sang, the Lord's coming should be something that touches our heart and draws us to the Lord. And the Lord is coming. In different aspects, we'll see something more of this tomorrow night, different aspects that the Lord is coming as. But one aspect he's coming as for sure toward the believers, he's coming as a lovely bridegroom.
Amen.
And we want to be prepared to meet him as our bridegroom. So, you know, hopefully when we go get into these matters, there's a lot of details, there's a lot of facts. And on one hand, we need to know the truth, but hopefully this is not just does not just end up as a lot of knowledge to us, and we can hit all the main points regarding the Lord's coming, and it doesn't touch us or affect us. But these words should cause something to go on within us.
Amen.
And stir our love for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
As the lovely bridegroom. Anyway, tonight, we've got. We're going to use both the outline and this screen here. And actually, it's the same thing, only a little different format. But we want to consider in this outline number 2, the signs of Christ's coming. And the signs are very important. In fact, the brothers, the first day we got here, they put up all these signs around the building. And first day or so, I had a little difficulty knowing which way am I supposed to go, where's the cafeteria? Anyway, you got to learn to know the signs.
That's right.
And it helps if you follow the signs. I had a little experience about a month ago. I went to a gathering in Indiana with a bunch of brothers. And we were driving down this state road. And it was so pleasant out in the country. We were driving down this road. And we were making fairly good time. And we were driving. And then all of a sudden, we came to this intersection. And there was a sign there that said, detour. And I think it was construction ahead. And I didn't see any construction around. I wasn't driving, but I surely had my ideas about what we should do. And the brother driving, I said, I wonder if this is an old sign. They just never took it down. Yeah. Let's just keep going. So we kept going. And we went down this road, and there was no construction. And we just kept going. And it was so nice out there in the country. The only one thing I noticed, there weren't a whole lot of cars out there. So I began to wonder, I wonder. Anyway, we just kept going. And then all of a sudden, we see here comes the construction, and the road is just completely blocked off. Okay, so what happened? We had to turn around and go all the way back to where the original sign was. Why? Because we didn't take heed to the sign. Okay? Now, if someone was in the car sleeping, they would have missed it altogether, the sign. So there's different responses you can have to a sign. Okay? If you're sleeping, you don't even know. You don't even know there's a sign there. And that's really what's going on today with many, many, not only unbelievers in the world, but even, as we'll see tonight, even some believers. We use this word called befuddled. And that means You're just ignorant. You're not looking. You're not alert. You don't know what's going on. And you're not looking at the obvious signs. Okay? So, you're either sleeping, or you're not alert, or you are alert and you take heed. Or you're alert and you don't take heed, like I did. Right? And you just kept going. But there is a purpose for the signs. The signs give you direction. And they tell you which way to go. And they also indicate some warning to you. And we need warning. Okay? So as a believer, you shouldn't think, why do I need to know about Antichrist? Who cares about the rebuilding of the temple? And, you know, so Israel became a state again. You know, what does this have to do with me? This has a lot to do with you. And so you should think about it. These are signs. And they want to speak to us. And they want to warn us. And they want to tell you whether or not you're going in the right direction. Okay? And maybe some of us need to turn around and take heed and turn around and start going in the right direction. Okay? So, anyway, we need to consider what are the signs of the Lord's coming. Okay, so let's read this verse together and emphasize the words in bold. Can you tell the words in bold? Okay, let's read it together. Okay, so we're not the first ones to ask this question. Believers, right from the very beginning, this was right before the Lord went to the cross. He gathered the disciples together privately. And I always like that word because I think the brothers in the morning revival session spoke about having an intimate, private fellowship with the Lord. Sometimes we do that individually. Sometimes we do that corporately. And actually, there's a very great high value in coming away like this week, getting away where you can have a time with the Lord privately and He can speak to you. Okay? So, and you can ask questions. So what did the disciples, they wanted to know when. Lord, when is the end of the age? How are we going to know? What's the sign of your coming? Tell us. What's the sign? Okay? And like we saw this morning, the Lord doesn't want us to, we don't have to speak real long, long prayers. We should be direct and ask Him directly. And this is what the disciples did. They said, when? And what will be the sign? Okay? So you think the Lord said, don't worry about it. You don't need to know these things. So, you know, That's just not for you to know. No, He didn't say that. He began to unfold to the disciples what are the signs of His coming. Of course, we read today in the reading, no one knows the exact day or hour except the Father. Okay, in our group, we are talking about there's books that have come out and there's, you know, radio so-called radio ministers who say they found the day and they know the day and all this. I told the brothers, when I hear that, I just shut it off because it's totally contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says no one knows the day or the hour when the Lord is going to return. Okay, but the Lord has given us some signs. Okay, so we need to take heed to the signs. Okay, while we're looking at the signs, we should consider there are three groups of people that the Lord considers on this earth. And how do we know that? Because the Bible says so in 1 Corinthians 10:32. Let's read that verse together at the top. Okay, so in Paul's mind, there was three groups of people on the earth. There's the Jews, the Greeks, The Greeks are the Gentiles, okay, the unbelievers. And then the third category is us, the church of God, okay? So when we consider prophecies and consider the signs of the Lord's coming, we should know that there are three groups of people that the Lord is talking about, okay? He's talking about the Jews, and he's talking about the Gentiles, and he's talking about the believers, okay? So how about the Jews? We're going to see, you know, the Lord said the Jews were likened to a fig tree that will become tender and puts forth its leaves, okay? That's a very great prophecy. We'll get into that. Okay, then second, the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? They're those who are participating in an age of lawlessness. And they are perishing. Okay, is what the Bible says. Number three, there's the believers. But as you notice, there's two kinds of believers. There's the overcomers. What are they doing? They're watching and being made ready. Okay? Then, who else is there? Among the believers, there's what the Bible calls the majority. And they will pass through the hour of trial. That is the great tribulation. Okay? So, which category are you in? Okay, so we're all in number three. But we should get a little more specific. Which part of number three are you in? Okay. Well, of course, we all want to be part of the overcomers.
Amen.
Okay. So how do we become an overcomer? We just need to overcome. Right? We need to overcome today to become an overcomer. Right? And how do we overcome? We're watching to be made ready for the Lord's coming. Okay, so when we get it, we're going to get into these three groups. So when we get into looking at these signs, look at these three categories. Okay? So there's actually six signs that we want to look at. And they're in your outline under Roman numeral 1. They're A through E. Okay? But I listed them here. You can maybe circle them on your outline. The first sign is that, this is amazing, this is a sign that the Lord told us concerning the end of the age, and at the time of the Lord's coming, there is going to be a mystery of lawlessness culminating in a man of lawlessness, a person who is, you could say, the height or the extreme totality of lawlessness, and that is Antichrist. Okay? Number two, the second sign that all believers should know is that the nation of Israel would be restored. Okay? And maybe I can mention one thing here. I remember reading one time, Watchman Nee, he said, to be a healthy, normal Christian, you need to know the prophecies concerning the Lord's coming. Okay? So we shouldn't think, well, that's for the brother, that's for the elders or for the full-timers or some of the brothers who share in the meetings. They need to know all these prophecies. You know, that's not that important for me. That's not true. If you want to be healthy and normal, you need to know the signs. You need to know how to read the signs. And know what the Bible says. Okay, so the Bible says the nation of Israel would be restored. And we'll see what happened. Then the Bible says there will be a rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Okay, we'll get into that. Number four. This might be hard for us to believe. You go out on a very pretty day like today. The sun is shining. Everything is beautiful. The grass is green and the flowers are, you know, all nice, and the birds are chirping, and you think, this is a beautiful place, okay? But one day the earth is not going to be that beautiful, you know? There is going to come a time of turmoil on this earth, and the Bible says, actually, such has never, ever occurred, nor ever will occur. And that will be the time of the great tribulation. Okay, number five, another great sign is that the preaching, there will be the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, actually to all the nations, to all the inhabited earth. Okay, that's a sign of the Lord's coming. And you have to think about, when has this taken place? Is it taking place yet? Okay, I read biographies, and I love to read about the missionaries from the past. And a lot of the missionaries went forth. But you have to ask, did they go forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Okay? It's not exactly the same as the gospel of grace. So we should know what's the difference. Okay, then number six, the sixth sign we want to look at is the rapture of the overcomers. What is it and when will it take place? Okay, let's read this verse again. All together. Okay, go.
Let no one deceive you in any way, because it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or an object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God, setting himself forth.
Okay, some of these verses might be a little difficult, but hopefully tonight we could gain some understanding. So, actually, the devil is known as the deceiver. He wants to deceive man. In fact, he does a very good job of it, and probably we all have partaken of his deceitfulness. In fact, the Bible calls sin. Sin is a deceitfulness, right? Every time we sin, we got tricked. We got deceived. When we go pursue the world, we think, oh, the world, if I just enjoy this, I'll be really satisfied. You get tricked. You get deceived. You go to the world, and then you get, oh, I got killed instead. Okay? So, the Lord said, let no one deceive you. Okay? The end will not come unless the apostasy comes first. You know what the apostasy is? Maybe Daniel could come here. Let's say Daniel is a very good believer, has a strong stand in the Lord, in the faith, in the truth, in the reality, in Christ. Apple means, APO means away from what? Away from your stand. So what happens in apostasy? You get moved out of it, away from your stand. Okay, someone who was standing for the Lord, standing in the truth, standing in the faith, all of a sudden they go astray. Thanks. Okay, so there will be a time. Maybe it's here already. You know, Bill was telling us, you go down the street and you read what's on the billboards of church buildings. You look at it and you think, is this have anything to do with the Christian faith? Right? What is this? This is a losing of the stand, a going away from the apostles' teaching, the healthy teaching and revelation that we received in the Word. So the apostasy comes first, and then the man of lawlessness is revealed. Who is it? He's the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. And what does he do? He opposes. What does he oppose? He opposes God. And he opposes everything that is of God. He opposes God's law. Okay? And, you know, one brother told me one time, you know what happens when people gossip? When you gossip, basically, you put someone else down so that you can be lifted up. Okay? So what does Antichrist do? He opposes God, he blasphemes God, and he exalts himself. Okay, so this is what Antichrist does. He exalts himself above all that is called God or an object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God. So this should tell us right there is a little sign. Antichrist is going to sit in the temple. Okay? How are you going to sit in a building that does not exist? Okay? That proves the temple will be rebuilt. Okay? Antichrist is going to come and sit in the temple of God, setting himself for saying that he is God. So I enjoy this. This is written by Paul. He said, "Do you not remember that while I was with you, I said these things to you?" Right? The Lord said this. Paul said this. Think the brothers or the Lord is trying to impress us. Remember these things. These are signs. And now we know that which restrains. There's something, fortunately, at this time, but the Lord's hand is still restraining some of the lawlessness. We know that, I don't know, like in the city of Chicago, for instance, the crime is terrible. But I could not imagine what the crime would be like if there were no police. Okay? So right now on this earth, there is a restraining. There's a lot of lawlessness, but there is a restraining by the Lord's hand. But one day, that restraining will be taken off, and this man of lawlessness will be revealed. And it'll be a terrible time to live on this earth when the Antichrist is here. Okay, so what is this mystery of lawlessness? It is operating today in human society. Okay, that's one of the points on the outline. This is a fact. This mystery of lawlessness, this age that we are living in at this time, is becoming more and more lawless. Okay? And I don't think anybody needs to prove it to anyone. You know, sometimes I talk with you all who are current students. I got saved when I was 18 years old as a freshman in college. I lived in the dorm. It was a pretty wild time when I lived in the dorm. Okay? You might think that's hard to imagine 40 years ago, you know, but actually it was when a lot of the very strong drug culture was coming in and immorality was coming in, and a lot of things were being experimented with, and a lot of lawlessness was prevailing. Okay, well, I always wonder, well, how about today? Well, I don't want to go into, you know, I'm sure maybe you all have some stories. Anyway, our culture, our society is becoming more and more godless and lawless. And the mystery of lawlessness is operating. And I've seen it. I'm sure some of the older brothers could testify. You don't have to go back that many years. I'd say even in the last 10 years, there's been a real decline. Okay? Lawlessness is operating today in human society. And what is the goal of the lawlessness? Today, lawlessness is creating a culture that is heading up more and more to just be one with Antichrist. So that when Antichrist appears, I don't think it's going to be all that shocking. His lawlessness will have already been received in degrees. So we know that today, in our culture today, a lot of laws are being changed. Okay? So, one day, you know, the Bible says, at one time, what is right will become wrong. And what is wrong will become right. That is happening. That is here now. You just read the newspaper, you read online news, right? When someone declares his unrighteous living, as that happened just a month or two ago, who was it, one of the first basketball players, NBA players, declared he was gay. The president of our country all of a sudden jumped on the bandwagon and said, this is great, we support him, we are behind him all the way, you know. What is this? This is a promoting of lawlessness. Okay, so what will happen? Eventually, more and more things will become things that are wrong, that are unrighteous, that are ungodly, will become just the norm and well received and well accepted. And what is the opposite will be rejected. So what will happen? This will culminate. The atmosphere, the culture on this earth will one day culminate and be just a normal welcoming of Antichrist coming in. Okay, let's read this together. How about sisters read this? Okay, so it's not just someone's idea that our society is becoming more lawless. No, the Bible says the mystery of lawlessness is now operating. Okay, and the one restraining, the Lord who is restraining, one day possibly will lift his hand off, let it go. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. But we know when the Lord comes, he will slay him by the breath of his mouth.
Amen.
And actually tonight, we want to touch something about this. Where does the defeat to the enemy come? It comes by what comes out of the Lord's mouth.
Amen.
By his word.
Amen.
So we have to think about, how about you? Are you allowing the Lord to slay what is contrary to him by receiving the breath that comes out of his mouth by getting into the word?
Amen.
Okay? Then, who are these ones? Sorry to say, the Bible says these are those who are perishing. So we read we sang the song this morning, Rescue, Rescue the Perishing. Okay? This is why we're not only here to save man, but we are here that man would be saved. Right? The Bible says our Savior God's desire is that all men would be saved.
Amen.
Right? So we should think about it. How about the people around you? Right? They are perishing. Okay, why are they perishing? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. That's what we're doing here this week. We're receiving the love of the truth. Hopefully, little by little, our hearts are coming to love the truth, right? So the unbelievers need to receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Anyway, we need to preach the gospel.
Amen.
I'm so glad we have the one session here in the mornings on preaching the gospel. And the one yesterday really touched me concerning the Lord's love. The Lord loves man. He loves the world. He loves those who are perishing, right? And we need to touch the Lord's love and reach out to these ones who are around us. And actually, I don't know why, but every time I come here among you all, it just reminds me every time, I got saved when I was your age. Okay? You know how I got saved? I got saved by a brother who lived in a dorm who spoke up and shared the gospel with me. He wasn't afraid to speak out and preach the gospel. I was perishing. I was in the world without God, in the world. Okay? But someone came and shared the gospel with me. And to this day, I'm thankful that a college student preached the gospel to me. Okay, you're not going to find too many men walking around your dorms like the brothers here. Okay, in fact, I labor with, a little bit with students, and I go over to the campus, but I'm very hesitant. I don't feel comfortable walking into the dorms. Okay, I told my wife this week, this is a little unique. I'm going to college here. I'm going to live in the dorm. Okay, actually, we can't get in the dorm. You see all the security. I can't believe how much security you have to pay. So who's going to preach the gospel? To those who live in the dorms, right? To those who live on these campuses. It's college students.
Amen.
Have to have a burden for the perishing.
Amen.
Okay? I don't know what it is. Like Robert shared yesterday. We just think, I love myself. I just like to be alone. Just leave me alone. I don't care about anybody. I just love my own future. And I'm for myself. I'm just totally for myself. That's true. In our fallen natural man, we're just for ourselves. Right? But hopefully the Lord can touch us.
Amen.
Right? You're in the church of God.
Amen.
There are two other categories of people. There are Jews. And actually the Bible says the gospel is to the Jews first. We shouldn't think, oh, this person here, he's a Jew. No, I'm not going to preach to him, he's a Jew. No, we should preach to the Jews. Right? In fact, where we are at UIC, University of Illinois in Chicago, I walk around that campus. I've never, ever seen a campus have so many international people from all over the world. And there's a whole lot. Maybe on your campus there is too, but there's a lot of these girls with the, what do you call that thing, the Muslims. Okay, they got the head garb. Okay? Usually, in the past, I used to think, they're Muslims. I don't want anything to do with it. Not anymore. You're a Muslim. You need Christ.
Amen.
Right? You need this. Give them a track.
Amen.
Right? Don't Muslims need Christ?
Amen.
Right? Every nationality needs Christ.
Amen.
The perishing need Christ.
Amen.
So we need to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Okay, hopefully more will get transferred out of that other group into the church of God. Okay? So actually, it'd be terrible. It's going to be terrible if you're a person perishing in unbelief, one with Antichrist, when the Lord returns. It'll be a terrible time. Okay? Okay, who is this man of lawlessness, Antichrist? He's going to be powerful, okay? And a lot of us, we saw in the last, our recent elections, people in our country are so easily influenced and swayed by leaders who can really speak. Believe me, Antichrist is going to be the best speaker. He's going to be very, very eloquent and very persuasive. And very charismatic and really a strong leader. He's going to be a powerful person. And he's going to come from a nation around the Mediterranean Sea. And we'll read a verse that'll prove that. And he is going to be the last Caesar of the revived Roman Empire. You may have studied the Roman Empire in your history class, and you might think that ended quite a while ago. That's true, it did end, but it's going to get revived. Okay, that's why the brothers always talk about we need to go to the land of Antichrist. Where is that? That's in Europe, where the revived Roman Empire is going to come up. Okay, and it's already, there are some indications that this is beginning to take place. Okay, Antichrist will be supported by 10 kings, or what the Bible calls 10 horns. These will be leaders of different nations, 10 different nations in Europe that will get behind and be very strong supporters of Antichrist. And Antichrist will make a covenant of peace with Israel. And as long as I've been able to follow the news, it seems like everybody and their brother, every single administration in the United States always has gone over to Egypt and to Israel and to Syria and Lebanon and Jordan and all these countries and try to make peace. They've been trying to make peace for I don't know how many years. It hasn't worked. And I'm not expecting it's going to work. Okay? But you know what? It will work when Antichrist comes. He will make a covenant, the Bible says, a firm covenant with many in Israel for 1 week. And the week here is 7 years. Okay, not just 7 days, but 7 years. And in the middle of that week, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That means he's going to break the covenant that he makes with Israel. He'll break it in the middle. He'll allow them to revive their way of offerings and sacrifices at their altar in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And for 7 years, he's going to make a covenant for 7 years. But after 3.5, he's going to break it. And then this will cease. And he'll replace the sacrifice and the oblation with the abominations of the desolator, even until the complete destruction that has been determined is poured out upon the desolator. Who's the desolator? It's the Antichrist. Okay? He's going to set up an abomination right in the temple, an image of himself. Okay, so he'll break the covenant in the middle, and at the middle of those 7 years, right at the 3.5 year mark, he'll break the covenant with Israel, and the great tribulation will begin. Okay? It says, at that time there will be great tribulation such as has not occurred from the beginning of the world until now, nor shall by any means ever occur. Okay, in the last number of years, we've seen a number of very devastating calamities take place in different parts of the earth. And they're terrible. But in comparison, you know, the Bible says there has never been, nor ever shall be, by any means ever occur what is going to occur on the earth during that 3.5 year time of the Great Tribulation. Okay, so what is this man of lawlessness, Antichrist? What does he do? He exalts himself as God. He sits in the temple. He tramples the holy city, and he persecutes and destroys for 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. Okay? Who does he persecute and destroy? Number one, he persecutes the God-fearing Jews. There will be some God-fearing Jews. And he also persecutes the Christ-believing Christians who will be on the earth during the time of the Great Tribulation. Okay? So how about brothers read this first verse? Can you see it? Okay, about sisters, read the bottom. Okay, who are those that keep the commandments of God? Those are the Jews. Who are those that have the testimony of Jesus? That's the Christ-believing Christians. Okay? Who's the dragon? We know the devil is described in Genesis as a serpent. That's the seed. But in Revelation, at the end of the Bible, he's grown up. He's become a great dragon. Okay? And he becomes angry with the woman, the church. Right? And he goes to make war, both with the Jews and the believers. Okay, let's read this one all together. Can you see it?
And its throne and great authority.
Okay, brothers, keep going. So we know that today this spirit, this lawlessness is operating in the world and one day will culminate in that person, the man of lawlessness, Antichrist, and he will come and he will speak great things. And the previous page we saw, he comes up out of the sea. That's why you can say he will come. He actually has two sources. One is from the Mediterranean Sea area. And the other, this person, actually maybe we could have a few brothers. Let's have six brothers here. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay, maybe you brothers could stand up right across here. You know, come up. Okay, so if you read in Revelation, it's kind of interesting. It's a little bit confusing. But here's John the Apostle, writing the book of Revelation. And he talks about the revived, or the Roman Empire. And John is talking about the different heads of the Roman Empire. And these were different Caesars. Okay? And so he said, five of them are not. Okay? That means one, two, three, four, five. These five were already either killed or committed suicide. Okay? So these are all gone. Okay. But this number, remember, this is number five. Okay. Then John said, and there's one that is. This is at the time John was writing. It's number six. And who's next? No. Okay. And then he said, and one is coming. He would be number seven, right? Okay, five are gone. One is now, at the time John was writing. And he said, one is coming. It's number seven. Okay? Thank you. Okay, so this number seven, the Bible says, this number seven has not yet appeared yet. This number seven is the beast.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Okay. He came up out of the sea. He was raised up around the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? Then what happened? The verse said he was slain. Okay? He was slain. Okay? Then here's what happens. This is really amazing. The spirit of Caesar number five, which was the most evil one, Nero, enters into, okay, he touches number seven, and number seven rises up, and he becomes number eight. He's different than he was before. It'll be very similar to the death and resurrection of Christ. Actually, the footnote says that. This is an imitation of the death and resurrection of Christ. So he was slain as number seven, just a man out of the sea. Okay? But then the evil spirit of number five comes up out of the abyss, gets into this one, and he becomes the eighth of the revived Roman Empire. And that the Bible calls the beast. Okay? He will be the Antichrist. Thank you. Well, you can say, what do we need to know all this for? Well, these are signs. We should think about it. We are, sorry to say, we live in this world. You know, when the Lord was about ready to depart, he prayed. And he said, I don't pray. He's praying to the Father. He said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you would keep them as they're in the world. Okay? So, Christians in the past have tried to run away and maybe live in a cave or something, or live in a monastery. But actually, that's not the way the Lord ordained. He ordained that we would live in the world. Okay? But we should not be of the world. But because we're in the world, we're in this age of lawlessness. And it's very easy for us to be influenced, even in our thinking. That's why the Lord said we need to be transformed. Amen. By the renewing of our minds. Amen. And have our minds renewed, that we would not go along with the lawlessness that is now operating and one day will culminate in this one called Antichrist. Okay, how about let's read this together. Okay, that's exactly what we talked about. Actually, tonight is so fast, you can't get into all the details. That's why I would encourage you, like the brother's been sharing, we need to read the Bible. And not just the Bible. If we didn't talk about this tonight, if Dave gave a little quiz, who are the seven heads? Who are the ten horns? Who are the seven kings, the five which are fallen, the one that is, and the other has not yet come? Who can understand these things? Okay? It's hard. It's difficult. So we need the interpreted word. Amen. We need the Bible. We need the recovery version. We need to get into the footnotes. Amen. And understand what does the Bible say. And understand the truth. Especially the signs concerning the Lord's coming. Okay? And maybe here I just give a little testimony. You know, the brothers were sharing this morning. If you go to the morning revival book in the back, there's a Bible reading schedule. Okay? And you can either take the 2-year plan or the 1-year plan, and you can read through the Bible. Okay? It's good to have a plan to be reading the Bible. And fight for it. And stick with it. In fact, we read today, who are some of the overcomers? They're the ones who have endurance. Right? The ones who pass through this time period with endurance. Anyway, we need to read the word and read the interpreted word. even if it takes you longer. It took my wife and I, we went through the whole Bible, the whole recovery version, from beginning to end. It probably took us 4 or 5 years. Just every morning, just a couple pages. Read the verses, read the footnotes. Next morning, read the next page. Read the verses, read the footnotes. So nourishing, so enlightening, so reviving,
Amen.
So equipping.
Amen.
We need to read the Word and read the interpreted Word, read the footnotes in the Word that will really supply us in our daily life. Okay. We're going to run out of time with all these verses, but I think you're getting the idea. There is an age that we're living in this age, and it's going to get worse. Okay? All right, let's go on to the next sign. And this is the sign of the nation of Israel, which the Lord called the fig tree. And we already read, before Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel, if you're going to make a covenant with a nation, that nation has to exist. Right? And do you know, about, 50, 60 years ago now, that nation did not exist. It did not exist from AD 70 at the time that Titus destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem, all the way until 1948. The nation of Israel did not exist. The nation of Israel was scattered. So Israel is symbolized by the fig tree. And why did they get scattered? Because of their stubbornness and unbelief, they were rejected, cursed, and scattered. And the Lord told them, if you remember the story in the Gospels, the Lord was walking with the disciples and they walked by a fig tree. And he saw the fig tree on the way. He came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "May there no longer be fruit from you forever." And the fig tree was instantly dried up. And that's what happened to the nation of Israel. They were dried up from that point. Okay, so, but the Lord promised to restore. And according to the prophecies of the fig tree, the fig tree was promised that it would become tender. And this means it would become a nation. And that happened in 1948. And it would put forth its leaves. And you could say the leaves show that there's some flourishing going on there. And I think the brothers consider that this was at the time of the regaining of Jerusalem, 1967. So let's read this verse together. Okay, I think a number of us live here in the north, and we experience what's called winter. And in winter time, everything just looks totally dead. But I always love spring. And when spring comes, you see things become a little tender, and you start to see a little budding take place. And then the leaves come. And when you see that, like at my house, right at my house, there's some little flowers. I don't know why, but they're the first ones that come every year. Okay? And it's still actually only maybe about 40 degrees outside. And these little flowers pop up. Okay? To me, that's a real sign, a real indication spring is coming. Not only spring, but summer is coming. So here we have a very good example. The Lord said, when you see this taking place, know that the summer is near. This has taken place. It's hard for us because most of you all, I'm included, were born after this took place. But if you read the life studies, Brother Lee was born before this took place. And Brother Lee testified, he knew this prophecy. He knew these verses, that when the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaf, you know that summer is near. And he knew that there was going had to be a restoration of the nation of Israel, but he did not see it. And Brother Lee's testimony was, it was hard to keep his heart from unbelief, because year after year, you didn't see it. You didn't see it happen. But he said, one day in 1948, newspapers came out, Israel is restored as a nation. He said that was, Brother Lee said, he almost started jumping up and down, rejoicing. This was a great fulfillment of the prophecy. Okay, well, I don't know what this means here, that this generation shall by no means pass away until all these things happen. Okay, that's already been since 1948. Okay, summer is near. Okay, the Lord's coming is near. And we should take heed to this particular sign that the nation of Israel was restored. Okay, how about the rebuilding of the temple? This is another great sign. The temple must be rebuilt before the Lord returns. Okay, we already read, Antichrist will set up his idol in the temple. How can you put an idol in some place that doesn't exist? Okay, the temple has to be rebuilt. Then during the first 3.5 years, Antichrist will allow free worship to God. But then at the end of the 3.5 years, he will cause the oblation in the temple to cease. Okay, we already read this verse. This actually comes from the book of Daniel, prophesying that this would take place. Well, maybe Bill could tell us later. You know, in Israel, you go in Israel, in Jerusalem, I heard, I haven't been there yet, I'm hoping to go. There's this place, it's called the Temple Institute. Did you see that? Okay. You know what the Temple Institute is? I heard it's not that big a place. But it's a group of people. You know what they're doing? They are preparing the materials, the priestly robes, all the utensils, the garments. Even they're finding, I've heard that even the red heifers and the animals for the offerings, and even the priestly group of people are being trained. Okay? The preparations are being made. Okay? In fact, I went on YouTube last couple days. Listen to this. Okay, I'm not advocating. Some of these are other groups of believers who have some ideas that are not necessarily really according to the word. But one thing you can find is that, you know, the people in Israel even know that this temple needs to be rebuilt. And they're talking about it. Okay? And there are some who are getting ready. So we might think, oh, just read this verse in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, and you know, you might think, oh, that's just seems so far off. Or actually, this is happening. Okay, this temple will be rebuilt, and it may be sooner than we think. Actually, we have seen in history, just even the last 20, 30 years, things that we may have thought were totally impossible, like the breakup of the Soviet Union, like the fall of the Berlin Wall. That happened just like boom, and it was there, it's gone. Okay? So don't think, oh, I heard there's a mosque on the Dome of the Rock, and it's on the place where the temple's supposed to be rebuilt, and that'll never go away, and you know. Hey, these things are in the Lord's hands, right? World history, and he's the Lord of all.
Amen.
And these things can happen, these things can change, and they will happen, and they will change. and the temple will be rebuilt. Okay, then the Great Tribulation. We've gotten into this. It will be the last 3.5 years of this age. It's called an hour of trial, which is to come upon the inhabited earth as has never occurred. Okay? The tribulation will come from three directions. Actually, it will be a judgment from God. He will send supernatural calamities. Why? Actually, we read today in 2 Peter that the Lord is long-suffering, still giving people opportunity to repent. Okay? Even here, there's a gospel even charging people to fear God and worship God. Okay? But because the hardness of man's heart and because of the unbelief and all the blasphemy and unrighteousness and lawlessness, the Lord has no choice but to send a judgment through supernatural calamities on the earth. Then there also will be persecution from Antichrist, and Satan will work together with Antichrist to destroy and injure the human race. And you can read through in Revelation all the destruction that will take place, like to the things in the heavens and the things on the earth, the rivers, and the different waters in the air, and so many different things will be injured, and even upon man himself. Okay, let's read this together. It's a rejoicing verse. Okay, so there will be a war. But you know who initiates the war? It's the overcomers. Amen. This takes place when the man-child is taken up, is raptured to the heavens. Okay? Causes such a commotion in the heavens that Michael and his angels start to make war with the dragon. Okay? Then the dragon is cast down. Okay, so what is the Lord waiting for? I think the brothers have shared already. It's not just a time schedule. You know, on this day, I think I'll do this. Or on this day, I'll wait till I'll do this. No, Lord is waiting for an army. Amen. Waiting for some overcomers. Amen. Who learn how to fight the battle on the earth. Amen. And then one day we'll be resurrected and raptured. Amen. And go to the heavens. Amen. And cause the war to start in the heavens. And then Satan will be cast down to the earth, and then the tribulation will take place on the earth, and then the Lord will begin to bring in his kingdom, as we read. Okay, so let's read this one. It's a good one. Okay, so we don't want to be here during that time. Okay, when the enemy is cast down, he's going to be in great rage. He's going to know his time is short because he's coming from the heavens to the earth. Then eventually he'll be kicked off out of the earth and the saints will begin to have dominion. The kingdom will come, right? And eventually Satan will be cast out. So today, we shouldn't love this earth or love this world. We shouldn't want to remain here. The Bible tells us we should set our hearts on things above.
Amen.
Right? Enjoy the things in the heavens. Okay, here's number five. Fifth sign is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 24:14, this is a great sign. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations. And then what?
Then the end will come.
Okay, the end will not come until the gospel of the kingdom is preached in the whole inhabited earth.
Amen.
Okay, so who's going to preach this gospel of the kingdom? We need to preach this gospel.
Amen.
We should preach the gospel where we are today.
Amen.
And be open to be followers of the Lamb. And one day if the Lord leads us to other places on this earth, we can take the gospel of the kingdom and preach the gospel to the whole inhabited earth. What for? We want to save the perishing, but not only that, we want there to be a testimony to all the nations so that the end will come. And this is taking place even in the last 5 years. To me, it's amazing. The migration and the Lord's move in Europe and the spreading and the number of cities that are being taken. And another country I heard recently, like in India, the spreading going on there and the propagation and the increase in the number of the churches. This is way different than what happened back in the 1800s with the missionaries going forth with the gospel of grace. This is the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
Where the brothers are going forth to preach the gospel and raise up churches.
Amen.
Where the Lord can gain his expression and have his dominion on the earth. Okay, the gospel of the kingdom. Grace emphasizes forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We all need grace. We all need the gospel of grace. And grace is included in the gospel of the kingdom. But the gospel of the kingdom is more. It emphasizes the heavenly ruling. It will be preached in the whole earth for a testimony. This is signified by the white horse in Revelation. And this is a sign of the consummation of the age. Okay. Then number six, the sixth sign. We have six. Amen. We like the gospel.
Amen.
So we should fellowship. You should ask one another on your campus, are you preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Or are you just preaching the gospel of grace? Right? We need grace. Every man needs grace. Every man needs the forgiveness of their sins and needs eternal life. But that's not the full gospel. We need to bring people under the Lord's ruling. Right? And come into the church life to build up a testimony.
Amen.
For the Lord's expression. Okay? Are you ready? Okay, we go to the sixth one, is the rapture of the overcomers. Remember right in the beginning, we said there's two kinds of believers. There's the overcomers, and there's the majority. Okay? A lot of times you think you want to be in the majority, but in this case, no, you do not want to be in the majority. Right? You want to become an overcomer. Okay? The Bible says, at that time, two men will be in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. I remember I was younger. I was probably about 25 years old when I heard this. When I heard the sharing from the life study of Matthew. And Brother Lee shared this. And he was very strong to emphasize, look what it says. What are the two doing? They're in the field. What does that mean? They're working. They have a normal daily life. Okay? How about the women? What are they doing? They're grinding at the mill. What does that mean? They're working. Okay? We shouldn't have a thought, and I think we read it in the excerpts today, Some think, oh, the Lord is coming. Quit your job. Quit everything. Put on white robes. Forget about your kids. Go sit on your roof and wait and pray. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says some are working. So what's the difference? Why is one taken and one is left? They're both working. One is not a full-timer and one is a working saint. No. Hopefully the full-timer is working. Okay? Hopefully the working saint is working. Okay? We should all be normal, human, functioning, contributing members of society by going to school. Actually, at this time, Brother Lee really strongly encouraged us. Go to school and get the best education and pursue to get a good education. Okay? We should work. We should work hard. But while we're working, we should gain Christ.
Amen.
We should be buying the oil.
Amen.
Right? We should be being filled up in our daily life.
Amen.
That we become the Lord's treasures. That when he comes as a thief, he'll want to take us to himself.
Amen.
So it's normal to be working in the field. And we should pray and enjoy Christ day by day. Sometimes at this point in my life, I still look back. You know, my very first job, you might laugh at this. My very first job when I first came into church life, you know, my job was, they don't even have this job anymore. It's so elementary. I was pumping gas at a gas station. Okay? That was my first job when I first came into church life. But you know what? I gained Christ on that job. I can't believe it sometimes. Every time I turn the cap, I say, Lord, I turn again. Lord Jesus, I turn to you. I turn so many times during the day. Then I had a job. I moved up in the world. I had a job at a factory. And I was working on tools, like screwdrivers. And I was a tool polisher, and I had this wheel going right in front of me. I was grinding at the mill. And I was polishing these, and I don't know how many hundreds and thousands of these I did. But the place was so noisy. No one could hear you. You know, I could be doing my job right here, and Joseph sitting right there. I could be singing at the top of my lungs. He couldn't even hear me. Of course, he might have thought I was crazy. But on that job, I really gained Christ. I got to pray read a lot and got to sing a lot. Okay? So really, it doesn't really matter. You got the highest job or you got the lowest job. The point is, are you going to be taken? So when the time comes, you can say, well, I got a PhD, I got the highest job, and I was, you know, working all these fancy things, okay, but I didn't gain Christ, and I guess I'm going to be left, right? We don't want to be left, we want to be taken.
Amen.
So whatever our job, we should pursue, we should get a good education, and we should labor in the world, but we should gain Christ in the process that we'll be prepared for the Lord's coming. Okay, so rapture of the overcomers, or the majority. What happens? The overcomers are taken. The majorities are left to pass through. You want to be ready or not ready? Mature or immature? So I was telling the brothers this morning, this section we have in the mornings on exercise of our spirit, dealing with our heart. Don't think that's not important. If we don't grow in life, how are we going to be ready? How are we going to become mature? How will we become ripe for the Lord's coming? First fruits are mature. They'll be taken early, right? Rather than being a harvest, have to sit out in the sun longer through the great tribulation. So we should be watching. We should not be befuddled. We should not be drugged. We should not be deceived by this age. Okay? We need to be kept from the hour of trial and not pass through the tribulation. We want to be raptured to the throne, not just to the air. Okay? We want to enjoy the wedding feast.
Amen.
Right? We don't want to miss the wedding feast. So, one thing I touched in the excerpts we read this afternoon is that what do we have time for? We have time to repent.
Amen.
And to deal with the Lord. So sometimes we need to repent. Lord, I'm not watching. Lord, I'm not ready. I'm not allowing you a way to grow in me. Right? Lord, seems I'm a little bit indifferent about the wedding feast. Right? So we need to pray and come to the Lord and speak to the Lord and allow the Lord to speak to us and deal with us. Okay? Are you ready to go to the next one? Okay, we only got a couple more. We got to stop. My time's about over. Okay. Okay, if you don't have it, maybe you can get it from one sitting next to you. Okay, let's read this together. Okay, we shouldn't be surprised. Like, it did not surprise me when I was going down that road that eventually we had to turn around. Okay? I got warned. I didn't heed it. Okay? So, we need to get in the Word. The Word warns us afresh. If you stay in the Word, you get freshly warned day by day. What are you doing? Who are you loving? How's your growth? How's your touch, your fellowship? Are you being made ready? Are you watchful? Are you sober? Okay? Anyway, these are all very good to help prepare us. Okay, so lastly, I just want to share this one burden. The Bible says, well, so what should we do? In the meantime, we should give heed to the prophetic word. What does that mean? Look at the signs. Don't ignore them. Okay? Let the signs speak to you. What is that? Let the word take heed to the prophetic word. The word is as a lamp shining in a dark place. This earth, the more lawless it becomes, the more dark it becomes. And we're in it. So we need light. We're influenced by those around us. We can become kind of foggy. So we need the light. Where is the light? The light is in the Word.
Amen.
The Word shines until the day dawns. The Word conveys spiritual light. If you're not reading the Word and not enjoying the ministry of the Word, either through the life studies or through the recovery version, the footnotes, how is light being conveyed to you? You shouldn't be surprised that you're growing cold or getting a little bit dark. Why? Because you have no light coming in. Okay, we need to take heed to the light. The Word guides us until the Lord appears. The Word encourages us and to seek the Lord's presence. The Word revives us and causes our love to increase for the coming bridegroom. So this summer, you know, at the summer training, the brothers had a very strong burden that we would not be indifferent to all the riches that have been poured out in the last number of years and have been written down. Right? So what should we do? We should get into the Word.
Amen.
And get into the life studies of the Word.
Amen.
Get into the ministry of the Word.
Amen.
So, I'd like to challenge you a little bit. You know, every time we come, like at a college conference, I always like to ask brothers, if someone asked you, right, point blank, which book in the Bible are you reading right now? Okay? What's your schedule? Which life study are you reading? What's your goal this year? Do you have a goal? Are you have a plan? Are you reading? Which book are you reading? Okay? I could tell you, right after the Genesis training, the brothers came out with that new Genesis. I already had the Bible. I bought one of these. They're easy to carry around. I already read through all the footnotes in Genesis. I started over. It speaks to me afresh, encourages me all over again, and revives me again. Okay? So you should think about it. This school year, you all get your schedules and you get your plans and you get your courses and you get everything lined up and your goals and everything all lined up. How about your ministry reading? How about your Bible reading? I can guarantee you, if you don't set a plan this school year and you come back here next summer, if I ask you, what did you read this last year, you will not be able to tell me. Nothing. Okay? Time is going by. We need to redeem the time. Amen. But no one can force you. You got to rise up and get in the Word. Amen. Let the Word speak to you. Amen. You got to read the Bible. Amen. You got to read the recovery version. There's a treasure in those footnotes. There's a treasure in the life studies. You think, oh, there's 120 of them, and it's like, wow, that book is that thick. You know, that'll take forever. I don't know if I want to even start. Just read a couple pages every day. Read a couple life studies every week. Right? Just enjoy it. Get filled. Get into the Word. Amen. This is our salvation.
Amen.
You want to be saved from this age, you have to get in the Word. You have to get into the ministry of the Word.
Amen.
Let the Word convey light to you.
Amen.
And save you. Anyway, I'll stop here. Hopefully we got some time for testimonies. Let's read the last verse while some are coming up. Okay, sisters, do the watch verse. Okay, brothers, do the watch verse.
Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord comes.
Amen. Okay, let's have some testimonies.